ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapters 6 and 8. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Revelation chapter 6 this morning. If you've been paying any attention at all, you're finding that this world is really spiraling on a trajectory that we could not have even imagined would have been where it is now from the beginning of this year, 2020. It's been crazy. We've had so many things. We've had the virus. We've had the riots. We've had the dismantling of the police movements that have been going on. You and I are living in a time that is unprecedented. And so as I come to you today, I come to you with the question, what's next? And I'm sure some people have been asking that of late. What's next? Well, the neat thing about it is that as believers, we know what's next. Not specifics on the next day or the next couple of weeks, but we know what's on the agenda. The Bible makes it very clear. And because of the context in which we find ourselves, we also have a good idea of how it's going to look, at least in a very small way. Because what's happening in our world today is very much like what's going to be happening in the near future, when all the world is changed in a very integral way. You will see in the message as we bring it that there are some things that are happening right now that foreshadow what's going to happen in the very near future. So in chapter 6, what we have in the rear view from this point, if you looked back over the past five chapters, you would have found that song we sang, Is He Worthy, is really a precursor here, because chapters 4 and 5 was in the throne room of God, and the question was, who can open the scroll? And so we sang about that for that reason. I thought it would be a good setup for us, because we need to remember Jesus is worthy. He's the Lamb who was slain. He was the one who took the scroll from the hands of the Father who was in the throne. And He took it and He's able to break the seal and open the scroll. And that's kind of where we are in chapter 6, is the seal judgments that are going to come upon this world. And when you see them, I think they will be very interesting to observe within the context we find ourselves. Verse 1 says, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of a thunder. One of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When you see this white horse, it might be something of a reflex for us to think that's Jesus, because we're looking for our hero. We saw him in chapter 1, if we were to have read the book from the beginning. We saw him in chapters 2 and 3 as he addressed the church age. And we saw him in 4 and 5 because he was the star. He was the creator and the redeemer. That's what he did. He was everything to us. So when we see verse 2 of chapter 6, we see it saying, I saw a white horse. And we think, man, the good guy always comes in the white horse. You know, that was back in the day. Now you don't know who's the good guy anymore, you know, in the TV series. But back in the day, the good guy always came with a white hat and a white horse. Well, not so in this context, because what we have here is we have a poser, if you will. Somebody who's coming with a desire to have power, a desire to take control, and probably with quite an elaborate plan to do so. So therefore, he seems to be very successful in all of his goings. This is not Christ, this is Antichrist. And we see that because as it unfolds, you will see what he brings. The Bible says that he sat on a horse and he had a bow. This bow was really kind of what we might call the coward's weapon, because you didn't get up close. I mean, the kind of war they had back in the day with swords was up close personal. I mean, it was flashing and anybody could get you from behind. Standing back and shooting from a distance, you know, you really had to achieve a real excellence to be able to be that guy, because if you're going to be back there, you're going to make it count. Okay, we're not going to use the throwaway guys back here. We're going to put them right up front. They're going to be chattel for the slaughter. But here what we have is a person coming with a bow. No arrow is mentioned. And the idea is that he is coming. He's a poser. He's somebody who's presenting himself as somebody who is a victor. No arrows are here. So he brings his victory, as we would see from other passages. If we were to carry them over today, we would find he's one who uses great swelling words. He has a mouth speaking blasphemies and he curses those that are in heaven. He is a conniver and he's a deceiver. And so right away, understand that part of his victory is going to come from deception. He's going to be a deceiver. Now, what I said about our day that we're living in, you're living in a day of deception. It's on steroids. The things we are hearing every time you hear somebody on TV speak, every time you hear somebody make a pronouncement, and then you walk away and think, wow, that's terrible. And the next thing you know, you're going through your day to day and you're thinking, I'm not sure that I'm seeing it that way, but it must be true. And that's where the deception comes. And by the way, if you're deceived, you don't know it. So that's why it's very important that if you get something that gives you a hitch, to right away begin to drill into it and ask yourself, is it true or not? Because after a while, just like a frog in the kettle, you get to a point where you begin to believe it. And the Bible says that if you take the darkness will be compounded. That's what happens. It's a statement derived from a principle that we see in the Scripture. We saw it in Romans chapter 1, that if you go to the darkness, you'll get more darkness. God gave them up, gave them up, gave them up. And one man coined the saying that light received brings greater light. Light rejected brings forever night. And is it possible for a believer to be deceived? Yes, the Bible constantly is telling us, don't let any man deceive you. Don't deceive yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We have it over and over again written to the church. And the Bible tells us that we have to be very careful. That's why it says, watch ye therefore. For in the time when you know not that the Son of Man comes, you have to be watching all the time. Be awake. And unless you're involved in something very stirring and stimulating, it may be hard to stay awake. We have all found ourselves deceived. And I don't say that from an ivory tower. I know that I myself have to keep myself tuned up so I have a clarity about what's going on. In fact, it drives me in this day we're living in. It frightens me because I want to be clear. I want to be accurate. I try to check and double check what I believe and what I'm following. Because if I don't, I would then be leading you in the wrong way. The Bible says he went forth in verse 2, conquering and to conquer. Now, that means he's got a goal. He's got a plan. He's conquering, which means he's successful, and he's going forth with a greater goal to conquer. This is the first seal. Now, many believe that this breaking of the seals is the commencement of the tribulation that the Bible talks about. And all of the book of Revelation, for the most part, is wrapped up in getting us to understand that God's going to bring a really terrible time on the earth. Now, if he's going to bring a really terrible time on the earth, it's going to get really bad before the terrible comes. And things are getting bad. For our experience here in this church, we've been saying for years that something had to happen to America to make it not quite so prominent in the grand scheme of things. Otherwise, we might expect it to be found in the Scriptures. You say, well, that's crazy. You know, America's great. It can't fall. But we've been seeing things that have been chipping away at the foundation of our authority. Even Angela Merkel this morning on that tweet I shared with you is calling on all nations to consider that America may relinquish our ability to exist as a superpower. Relinquish it, not have it taken from us, but relinquish it. And we see that. Everybody's getting on a knee. Everybody's bowing down. And they're making that comment as they themselves have fires in their streets and riots. See, it's kind of interesting. And I've got a couple of other places I've read where other people are calling in the United Nations for a One World Council to figure this out. We're just right there. We're just right there. And the Bible says there's going to be somebody to step up. Now, I'm not thinking it's Joe Biden. I'm just saying, all right? I don't think he's got a plan, okay? He's kind of a mess, and I'm telling you, you may have liked the party of the Democrats at one point. You know, sometimes people just were always brought up that way. I get it, I get it, I get it. But what we're talking about is a man who is clearly not clear. I get YouTube up, and sometimes he'll come up as an ad. He'll say, hi, I'm Joe Biden, and I'd like for to ask you. And this could have been another take. They didn't do another take. I'd like for to ask you to help me win the presidency. And, you know, the world is moving toward that. And what I want you to recognize is that if we are scraping the bottom of the barrel in America, then what's the world got in the wings? And we understand from the book of Revelation and the Old Testament, when we get into the book of Daniel, that probably things are going to be more rooted and seated in the European area out there, the old Roman landmass. But at this point, what we see is this person is Antichrist. We're not told much more about him at this point, but that's the first horse. And I say to you that as you think about what's going to happen, you got to understand a one world government is in everybody's mind. Globalism is in everybody's mind. In our country, it became a big issue in 2016. Trump was a nationalist. Hillary was a globalist, and that was being talked about. It's been talked about since George H.W. way back when. He talked about a new world order. We've been moving slowly toward this for a long time, and now, just like the statues that are tipping and some falling, we're tipping. We are tipping. The Bible says in verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say unto me, come and see. And he says in verse 4, and there went out another horse, and this one was red. Now, most of us could right away anticipate generally what this is about, but it has to do with bloodshed. The Bible says, and power was given to him in verse 4 that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him, this horse rider, there was given unto him a great sword. Now, oftentimes we think of this as war, and I'm sure it probably has some of that in there. But when you read in verse 4 in the middle of it, it says they're going to kill one another. Now, if you're paying attention at all, and I know some of us just want to look away. Some of us, you know, we have a little bit of a morbid curiosity when things are kind of gross like this. But there's a show out there called Trauma in the ER, reality TV. They're watching people. And man, I don't know. I just enjoy watching the show. And we were talking about that in my Sunday school class this morning. I always thought it was interesting. Somebody comes in, they got a bar in the side of their head because they had an accident. And some people are like, wow, what are they going to do? Is they going to be able to help him? You know, but the reality is that in our day, what we're seeing is not just accidents. We're seeing beatings on purpose, gangs and kicking and mutilations and just all kinds of things that are happening. And it is on steroids now, as far as we're concerned, but it's really not. What we have is we have a steady stream of media that can bring us something that happened in Minnesota within an hour of it happening. We can have somebody tell us what's happening in Australia. We can have somebody show us video of what's going on in the UK. And we get that as a steady stream. So it seems like it's everywhere, but it's not everywhere yet. We've seen it in our state. We've seen it in Columbus. We've seen it in Cleveland. There have been riots and beatings, and there's been breaking windows and looting. And what we are seeing is that people that get into that frenzy, they have a disregard for life. It gets to the point where sometimes if somebody gets in their way, they may be put to death. The Bible talks about the fact that sons will turn in their parents and parents will turn in their sons. Mothers and mothers-in-laws and all these daughters, there's going to be turning on one another, and those that were turned on were put to death. It's going to get to the point where everybody's going to become factious. You're going to take one side or the other. The lines are going to be drawn. Right now we have many of those. We've seen them coming for a long time. The Me Too movement, the racism, feminism versus misogyny. You've got whatever you want to talk about. You can kind of point at it. And now there are people who are true believers and non-believers in various things that are being foisted upon us. And this is a world where there's a lot of factiousness being stirred up. And so I suggest to you that we have to be very, very mindful that this is a birth pang. It is a true birth pang. It looks like that. Okay, he says they're going to kill one another. Can it get that bad? We're seeing it get that bad. And when people begin to get really hungry and so forth, you know, our economies, really, it's on the agenda to be destroyed by virtue of all of this money that's being printed. We all know that. We know it intuitively. We're just saying, well, it's not really happening, so I guess it's okay. That's how it always is. You see, the devil understands, in having watched God all this time, that God would telegraph things, and then when they came, people were to recognize it. And so God would telegraph through the Passover feast. When Jesus came, he was the Lamb. He takes away the sins of the world. He telegraphed truth, always telegraphed truth. And the concepts of Jesus coming and doing miracles that were prophesied, arriving in a certain place at a certain time, like on the triumphal entry. God telegraphs, this is going to happen. And suddenly you say, well, this has got to be the one. He's got to be the one. And many believed, many did not. But they made choices. And what the devil's done is he's been telegraphing through your media. The movies that you watch, things that you think are pretty amazing.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.